flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But right now, Odyssey Sports has launched a fantastic giveaway, giving you and 3 friends the chance to go to Las Vegas for the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. And $20,000 cash. All you got to do is download the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen, log in, listen to 92.9 FM for 1 hour. If you listen for 1 hour, it's one entry. You can obviously listen for all the hours and get one entry per hour. It's a chance to go to the Circa in Las Vegas. Again, $5,000 spending cash for you and 4 or 3 other buddies. And all you have to do is download the Odyssey app and keep listening. So make sure you take advantage of that contest as well. Dennis Fuller produces the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today, back for a second time this week, the Memphis Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. He's also the co-host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast on Twitter, on X, at DeMichael C. DeMichael, good day, sir.
What's going on, Jeffrey? What's going on?
Oh, man, not much. Big, big night, obviously, of basketball here in the Bluff City. Tigers got it going early. They end a 3-game losing streak in New Orleans against Tulane. They pull away 68-56 against the Green Wave. But really, the story of the night, Memphis Grizzlies with a national television audience. It starts off with the pregame show in which Jaren Jackson is announced as a All-Star. You then had, honestly, what felt like one of the more intense games of the year. Like, it was just a fun...
Almost like a playoff game.
Correct. Yeah. The broadcast made a lot of reference to how loud it was indeed in there. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, Jaren battling a little bit of foul trouble throughout the night, but comes up about as clutch as you can on both ends of the floor. Massive night. And, honestly, it felt like... Like, that was kind of, you know, not that it really matters one way or the other, but it was almost like validation of, all right, he's named an All-Star.
Yep.
There's the argument of, did Sabonis get snubbed? I don't know. I mean, one thing I did like was it felt like the selections, Ty went to whose team's better.
Yeah.
And Jaren's been there the whole way.
He deserved it.
And so it honestly felt like the way that he played kind of validated that choice made by the coaching staff. And yet the entire night feels like it has got this cloud over it because Ja's sitting on the second row in a yellow sweatshirt. And I believe, is the term been, is it a shiesty?
Yeah,
I thought it was like a ski mask.
That's what we call it in Memphis. They call it a shiesty mask.
Okay,
in,
somebody,
but ski mask is like more of the...
Somebody had like... I didn't know if Chris wrote baklava. I was like, I thought that's a Greek dessert. And like, I'm clearly being dumb. But I was like, basically, I was like, he wears what all the football players wear when they're cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the full body suit. And so, you know, I guess the way that I look at it is like this. I'm sure some people out there are going to be like, why are you talking about this? It was unavoidable.
It's the franchise player, too.
And so I obviously don't want to put you into a bad spot because you got to cover the team on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And you got to talk to them. So I'm going to keep it as simple as this. What did you see?
It was different. And that is why it was notable. You know, at the end of the day, like you said, I'm around these guys a lot. I cover this team, fourth season now, over 3 years. And I've seen Ja Morant miss a lot of games in that time. And what I will tell you is when he misses a lot of those games, he is still arguably right up there. You know how Marcus Smart is.
Yes.
You can make an argument that they're tit for tat.
On talking during the game?
Yeah, when both are out.
I think Marcus has gotten texts from the bench, right?
He has.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ja's been close to the same. And I've seen several times where Ja's engaged to the point where it's not even just with his teammates. It's when guys are coming to the corner from opposing team. You know, when you shoot that corner three-pointer, you're in no man's land in the NBA.
I mean, you are inches from the bench.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
of now, like, how wide the three-point line goes. Like, you're basically, like, shooting on your tippy toes.
One step back. They're literally one step behind you. And I've seen Ja, like, he's standing up in guys' ears and things because you're that close to them and whatnot. So to see him go from that engaged to he was sitting on the second row, which was the first thing, and I've never really seen Johnson, even when he had the torn labrum and he missed all that time, which was very frustrating, you know, right?
Absolutely.
But he was still, you know, there was the Coach 12 thing last year. You remember
it was funny that you were mentioning that because I remember early in the season when he was out,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of those times, like particularly on road games where there's not big crowds, the crowd mic would pick up, you could hear Ja basically
hear
like coaching. Like he was yelling, get over here. You could hear him. And so, like, that's the first people that were trying to say, like, nothing to see here. I'm not even talking about the organization. The organization's going to do that. We have the expectation they're going to downplay it. Like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's their prerogative. The issue is when you downplay it and we see something so openly apparent to us, that doesn't make us believe you. When you say, like, nothing to see here. It's like, okay, well, in weirdly, it's making it a bigger deal by saying nothing to see here because, like, we saw something.
And there were multiple perspectives that I got out of what you just said. Like, with Taylor Jenkins, you know, I asked him after the game and basically said that Ja's demeanor, you know, his mannerism, his energy looked different than we were used to seeing. And I said, could you shed light on anything that could possibly be related to? And Taylor looks up and he said, that's news to me. And he goes on to talk about how Ja was active in the huddles. And I'm like, I'm typing sometimes.
Sure. I mean, you are working in the middle of the game.
Maybe I missed something, but personally, I didn't see Ja even stand up outside of, you know, going for halftime and whatnot until pretty much the fourth quarter. And this is included in the huddles when Cam Spencer would be on the second row.
Yep.
He'd go to the front row, and all the other players would be in the huddle. So, it was notably different. But at the same time, Jaren Jackson Jr., I think, gave a very insightful answer. Desmond Bane as well. You know, those are the, I guess you say, co-leaders of the team. And Jaren said basically that.
I would also argue the savviest.
Oh, he is. Oh, you know, he grew up in this.
Absolutely.
He grew up in this. He knows how it goes. But Jaren basically.
Mom's an attorney.
Dad played in the league. He knows the game. But Jaren goes, you know, I've been around Ja all day. You guys, media, fans, you get a smaller portion of the day. I've been laughing with him today. We've been talking today. Answer makes perfect sense to me. So he basically was saying Ja's good because I've seen him be good all day. what I got out of that personally was he's fine when he's around his teammates. He's been fine around his teammates, but there was something to the fact of being at the game and not wanting to, I guess, whether it was the limelights or whatever, you know, it's nationally televised games. Maybe leaning more to that perspective, which goes back to Taylor Jenkins. And his answer was completely different, pointing out that Ja was active in the huddles and things like that. I'm like, I didn't really see that. Maybe, yeah, he was probably talking from the, you know, I can't hear him, so I'm sure he probably was talking.
I think it's also, but let's also be real. What's most likely? It's a coach covering for a player.
Yeah.
But the problem is, and this is what I've dealt with this, whether you're covering an SEC football team, which you've got experience doing.
Yep.
When you get these groups that are so hell-bent on controlling message, who gets to talk, what gets to talk, what they always miss, I don't care if it's Ole Miss with Hugh Freeze, I don't care if it's the Grizzlies with injuries, with decisions, you have the right to do it the way you want to do it. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't, you can't account for when what we see doesn't match with what you say.
Right.
And so what that inherently does is it takes something that maybe isn't. Like, if we're talking about on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe it's a 4.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a 3.
Yeah.
But when it seems like you're avoiding it, it seems like you're hiding something. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, that 4 or 3 starts to become, I wonder about this.
Yeah.
Gets turned up a little bit and turned up a little bit. And this has always been the issue that I've had when we go through the inevitable job spouts.
Yeah.
I don't care that he wears his emotions on sleeve. I actually like it. Yeah. In a day and age
of
pure robots, it makes him so much more interesting.
It's part of his stardom.
Correct. Yeah. It makes him more relatable. It makes him so much more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't have, not having a good game, you know it.
Yeah.
The biggest problem, though, that I have on a night like last night is, and he's been around it enough now, I just don't think this is an excuse anymore. It becomes the story, and more importantly, it's like what you had to deal with last night. You've got to go up, and you've got to ask Jaren. You've got to ask Dez.
Yep.
You've got to ask Jalen. Everyone in the locker room that's made available. You've got to ask them about it to where they've just...
They just had one of their biggest wins of the season.
And not only that, left it on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, Dez plays damn near every minute of the fourth quarter.
Yep. Yeah.
Jaren had to deal with some foul trouble, but, I mean,
he was pumped after that game. Like, he wanted it.
I mean, and not only that, both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
You can make the argument, he makes the two plays that legitimately win the game. And I don't want to diminish how everyone else played.
But
they weren't getting many stops when he wasn't on the floor.
No.
And not only does he get the draws the foul, fouls Dylan out, makes the two free throws. Underrated play of the night is Van Vliet. Thank God he took that three. But where they had been killing everyone was offensive rebounds.
And they were.
And Jaren just swats it to midcourt, and there's no chance for a second chance.
Yep.
And so now, instead of what should have just kind of been a crowning great night.
Mm-hmm.
The story just becomes this.
Yeah, it all goes back to it being different. And he's the star player, and it's no disrespect to anyone else, but if this was probably any other player with the exception of maybe one or two guys, no one else really notices. But it's Ja Morant, and it's the timing, right? It's
100%.
It's after he's had, again, we said 4 games in a row where he's been under 20 points. You know, you looked it up before we were doing the show. If you got to go back pretty much to his second season outside of a 3-game stretch in April 2023.
Nothing going on then.
Yeah. You got to go all the way back to his second year in the league, the last time he averaged less than 20 points in a month.
And on top of that, it's not just his points are down.
Yeah.
Assists are down. He's down to, I think, 6.5 maybe.
Yeah. Both were his lows for any month this season. Even his effective field goal percentage was the lowest of any month this season. Clearly, and like you said, he wears his emotions on his sleeves. You love it when he's, saying, we run up the chimney, we're not ducking the smoke. You love it then, but there's another side to that too. And you lose, and you know you wear it on your sleeve the way he does.
He does wear a loss.
Yeah, you see
he
it.
He wears a
you
loss.
You see it, and I wear losses. Like I'm not knocking that part of it, but the thing about it is when you're the star, when you're the like fans are. I'm talking to fans at the game yesterday, and they're like, "My kids love Ja. My kids, you know, they're always saying, you know, I want to be Ja Morant. I want to do, you know, like." Fans were noticing. Like, this isn't something that was made up out by the media or anything. I want to say probably at least 7-8 fans at some point in the game say, DeMichael, do you know what's going on with Ja? He's not really getting up. He doesn't look like this isn't something that just was made up. Like, and because it's Ja, you have to address it.
100%.
You got to address it.
I guess this is the way that I would look at it. And I'm not. Again, I don't want to put you in a bad spot,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's fair to say this hasn't been the greatest time for Marcus Smart. He's been hurt.
Yeah.
You know, you get traded right after you get traded. Your team wins.
He doesn't
a title.
Have a defined role here.
Correct. Right, like, and you like no one really knows. Like, is he going to get moved? Like, there's more rumblings. Say, I always hesitate to call them reports because. When the report is could get moved, it's like, well, theoretically, anyone could. Okay, like, sure, but it's out there. Would you have known that last night on the bench?
No.
And this is the other thing I never bought. Well, he's sitting on the second row. You're telling me if Ja Morant says, get up, anyone, and go to the second row,
easy.
He doesn't have seniority?
And Cam Spencer was sitting on the second row. Cam Spencer was in when the Grizzlies called timeout and they did their huddles. Cam Spencer got up and, you know, like, it was noticeable.
That's the whole thing is everyone that's trying to act like that this wasn't something, that's where I go, no, like.
You can't ignore
this. We saw this. You can't just say, like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. It's like, okay, well. If you think that's true, A, I invite you to have the floor. And when we invite you to have the floor, you sit there and you tell us, I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And like, I am kind of willing to give Taylor a pass. A, coach covering for players, like that
happens all the time.
Part of the job.
Yeah.
I would argue part of the job.
Exactly. Yeah.
And second, he was coaching the game.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't just looking back,
correct.
Checking in on Ja. Like,
correct.
Let me see how Ja's doing. Yeah.
And that was a game you could tell. That's clearly a game that also matters to him. He was noticeably. He was. I swear to God, he was in a defensive stance about half of the game.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean. Like, I thought he was going to be doing like low and slows.
I feel bad for the refs when it was 13 seconds left and they caught that inadvertent whistle. All right,
I got a take.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a segment, particularly online, mm-hmm. not the biggest Taylor Jenkins fan.
Okay.
I always say that's fine. That's part of life.
Yep.
Like, Taylor, that's what the money's for.
Yep.
He got that foul call.
He did.
By absolutely and completely berating that official. And to be clear, the official made the mistake.
Yep.
And I think right off the bat.
Knew it.
And honestly, I know it's like in vogue to just absolutely crush officials.
Mm-hmm.
I'm somewhat sympathetic. I think it's really hard.
I say it all the time.
The games, you could literally call
foul. I grew up playing baseball.
I've reffed.
Yeah.
And this is bad baseball.
Yeah.
Bad basketball. And the game moves 2 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about premier athletes.
The best in the world.
And you've made the rule book harder to interpret than ever. And I can literally call something every single possession.
Yeah.
And I do think, again, I could envision this happening because it was off a free throw, correct? Or was it just a miss?
No, it was a miss. It was a missed shot, and they were about to run.
And so I would imagine you're also anticipating timeout.
Yeah.
I mean,
he did it before. He called timeout.
And on top of that, part of the miss that also made it different was long miss.
Yeah, Jalen Wells.
Because normally when you have the miss, it's probably going to be underneath the basket.
A big.
And I think he just screwed up. But Taylor, absolutely berating mm-hmm. and belittling and probably saying things that I would presume deserve the tech. I credit the official for when you like that's
you,
always
you know you can't compound it. Yeah.
I never gave a tech when I screwed up.
Yeah.
I have to sit there and take it.
Yep.
Same thing. Never threw a coach out mm-hmm. when I knew I screwed up.
Yeah.
Dylan fouled Jaren, but on the scale of like,
mm-hmm.
gotta call that, that's something late in a game that we've many times seen the whistle swallowed.
And you credited Taylor, and I'm giving more of the credit to Taylor too for, like you said, doing what he did to kind of put the pressure on the referees, but Jaren getting the ball and immediately going into
Absolutely.
His chest, like, they're not going to screw us twice. Like, he there was no fadeaway.
Oh, he didn't put, he. I dare you.
Yeah. I dare you to choke on this whistle.
Yes.
Like,
and they didn't. There was also, I know because you covered the game.
Yeah.
There was a laugh out loud funny moment during the Tiger game mm-hmm. in the second half. I don't remember who it was for Tulane, but PJ Carter takes one of the most egregious charges you've ever seen. I mean, it literally, the best example I can say is it was like a running back going one-on-one, not going to make a move. I'm just running you over. Like, unbelievable, like, obvious charge.
Yeah.
It took, like, a couple of beats for someone to finally blow the whistle. And I swear what happened is they couldn't believe it. Like, it was such an obvious charge.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're all kind of looking at each other. And finally, like, the ref underneath is like, guys, we have to call this.
Yeah.
So he finally blows the whistle. But I swear, like, it was just like a human nature thing. He's like, did that? You're asking yourself that. Surely that didn't happen because it was so absurd.
Uh-huh.
But I'm with you. I think Jaren was like, I dare you to not call this. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think on the other end of the floor, I think the Rockets were going to have to draw blood to get a call.
To get a call.
Yes. Like, I think it was going to have to be a tackle. And I think Van Vliet, like, I'll say this, like, I think that's part of the reason he pulls up.
Yeah.
Like, hey, there's no point in us going in the lane here.
Yeah.
We're not getting that call. And so, like, I think that's all part of it. And I guess this is kind of, like, where I net out on all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I find it selfish.
Mm.
Because in the end, like, what's the line from Remember the Titans? You want to be a star, give me a superstar effort.
Yeah.
It's what comes with it.
Yeah.
As you point out, nobody's paying attention to Cam Spencer on the bench.
Heavy is the head, wears the crown.
But you are Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
The same reason that, what is he, fifth in jersey sales?
Yeah, top 10. In Mexico, Canada.
Same reason you have your own signature shoe.
Yeah.
All of it.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes on you. Why? We are interested in you.
Yep.
And, like, you just have to know, man, what you do. Like, that is, so to me, it's either one of two things.
Uh-huh.
It's either a lack of self-awareness. Which, but again, I don't.
Josh 6 years in.
He's been through in the last 2 years, you're telling me that he doesn't think about public image?
He's super savvy now. He says it when he's talking a lot. He'll stop himself. He's like, I know better now.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so, like, I rule that, like, it is clearly some type of statement. And so I'm obviously not going to ask you to speculate,
mm-hmm.
but this is kind of the other part of the equation.
Yeah.
What's going on with shoulder? Because this is the other thing where I want to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were in here early. So he has the was it a foot ankle when he's the ball, the pass.
Yeah. That was
so he misses was,
mm-hmm.
misses a couple.
He missed like 2-3 preseason games.
Okay.
Came back for the last one. Yep.
And I think we talked about the way he was playing early in the year.
Yeah.
You could reasonably go, this is the best basketball he's ever played.
For
it just
sure.
felt like he was completely
he
locked
was controlling
in.
Controlling the game.
Everything.
Like, playing I know defense at a different level.
His numbers weren't eye-popping, but it's like if you were watching the games or you went to the games, you were like, he's playing on expert
I think I was
mode.
Saying he can average 10 assists this season.
I think he even said more. Like,
yeah.
like you're like you could easily average more.
Yeah.
Then he gets the hip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also important to note, it was a dislocated hip.
That hurt.
It wasn't the most
it
extreme.
It popped out and popped back in.
Like it wasn't the most extreme dislocation,
mm-hmm.
but it was a dislocated hip.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like ever since that injury, it hasn't been the level that we started with. Then you throw in, he's had the labrum surgery.
Yep.
And I know maybe more in baseball, like
labrum
surgery ain't exactly like a... We've done really well with a lot of surgeries and improving it.
Guys get traded in baseball. For
absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember my buddy when he first said, he's like, yeah, they basically told me it's like 50-50 that this is going to last. And so it's not the most like 1,000% surgery. And then you sprain your AC joint in the same shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And reportedly, you've taken some shots to it. Not the I'm going to play a football game shots. Like, you've taken hits.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're having pain again. So, it's completely reasonable to me that part of the form is he's not healthy.
Yeah.
But, like, where do you think that is?
I mean, they've been talking about the foot. I'm starting to think more about the shoulder, you know, like you said, because there was the AC joint sprain. He missed some time. And... what was it? It was that first game. You remember he was wearing the padded thing over his right shoulder when he first got back.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, after the game and things like that, he was, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good. But during the game, you could hear him as he was trying to plead his case to the referees on one of the calls. I think the referee said he set a legal screen, or he went through the screen with his shoulder, and he said, "That's my hurt shoulder." That's what he said. He said, "That's my hurt shoulder."
I would also say this about Ja, and I've always compared him. My buddy lives in Tampa now, so I don't care. Michael Park was our quarterback, and All-State player, very good quarterback, good high school quarterback. Michael was the guy, though.
Yeah.
When he got sacked, he'd stay down there for 10 seconds. Like, it was almost like he wanted the offensive lineman to think about what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
Ja kind of, you know, when Ja's down, like, you know it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, again, I also think it's part of, like, what makes him interesting. But it's the same thing. It's like, I also think ever since he's come back, like, he does the move of, like, rotating the shoulder. And I know, like, that's the other thing.
I think there's a mental component.
I also think, like, hey, he's had surgery on it.
Yeah.
We know he's missed games for it this year. It's completely reasonable. That doesn't feel good.
Yeah, I think it's a mental thing, because when he said he's not going to dunk, and to me, there's a broader way to kind of look at protecting yourself than not dunking, protecting yourself from the lands and things like that. Because at the end of the day, it's, hey, I'm going to take more floaters. I'm going to take more mid-range jumpers.
Stop and pop.
Instead of
hit the brakes.
That's what Derrick Rose, people focused on the dunks with Derrick Rose because.
What was the podcast? Was it his own podcast?
Out the Mud?
I saw the clip going around, and Derrick was discussing how Ja gets compared to him. He's like, he's like, man, he is way more aggressive than I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we're still seeing sometimes him. He's going to the rim, like, you see he's doing the spin, where he's trying to completely dodge contacts with the bigs, the reverse. You know, he still has some flashy finishes and things like that. But I think it's going to be, you know, the floaters, the mid-range jumpers, and things like that. And that leads me to believe this is more mental than anything, because even though he's not dunking, he's still going to the rim aggressively. And you know, there's going to be, you know, things that happen and whatnot. And I don't know exactly what happened in practice. You know, Taylor Jenkins said he took a bump.
Yeah.
He took a bump. He woke up the next day and, you know, he was questionable. Then he was downgraded to doubtful. Then he was eventually downgraded to out. And it's this thing where, you know, happens with the Grizzlies sometimes when guys are made questionable the next day, where he says, oh, they woke up feeling soreness. And, you know, you're like, man, Ja's 25. Like, but when you realize it's that right shoulder,
well, and also
you gotta be more like thoughtful.
I'm also kind of willing to give him a little bit of a pass. Like,
yeah,
oftentimes, like, when guys will hurt their ankle,
that's the
they'll
one.
Finish a game.
Yep,
because the ankle they're basically is the one. Just playing on adrenaline.
Yep,
and then the next day they wake up and they collapse because they can't put any pressure on.
Yep,
that also happens when I've talked to athletes that when you take the old shot.
Yep.
Yep. So you don't feel anything. You're like, man, I feel fine.
Just for the moment.
And then the next day.
Yep.
The next day is just hell on earth.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess this is kind of the other thing. It's like, how much, like, it's all, I think we can all agree,
mm-hmm.
even if Jaren has been the MVP of the season so far.
He has, yep.
I think we all agree this team's ceiling is defined by Ja Morant.
Yeah, and that's why, like, you know, I some people are saying, like, is Jaren the franchise? And, oh, no, they're saying Jaren is the franchise and things like that. Like, I get the angle.
I've always said that's like saying, Ole Miss fans used to like to belittle Mississippi State by saying LSU's their biggest rival.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of the same. Yeah. Like, it's an attention-seeking move. And Jaren has been the best player. Jaren is going to the All-Star game, and deservedly so.
Who sells the tickets in FedEx form?
Who sells everything?
Who sells everything?
It's who? By the way, Jaren was awesome last night.
Mm-hmm. We're still talking about Ja Morant.
That's... End of discussion.
We're still talking about Ja Morant.
That's who matters.
Yeah.
And, like, to me, we just had a football earthquake, maybe?
Or something.
We had the AutoZone Liberty Bowl football fall from the ceiling, so that's nice. But, like, that's the thing. Jaren's been awesome.
Yeah.
There's still no one that captures the imagination like Ja.
And you're right with the ceiling, too. Like, just the basketball. I mean, we're talking about the off the court, like, just the. It's just, I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, people will text me and say, DeMichael, I'm coming to the game today. Is Ja playing?
Yeah.
Is Ja playing? Is Ja playing? Every time. But on the floor, when you talk about the ceiling, 100%, his passing, his ability to control the game, like early this season, it was beautiful.
I mean,
he didn't have to score. He just was scoring, but he didn't even have to. He just was controlling the game.
I can't remember. I went to an early season game before he got hurt. He's doing things that, like, the elite quarterbacks do. Where, like,
that's
he was,
exactly
like,
what
manipulating.
It is.
He was getting
that's exactly
the,
what
LeBron
it is.
Used to do this.
Yep,
like,
yep.
That was why I've always said 23 on the Lakers or 23 or 6 on the Heat.
Yep.
23 for
that's
the Cavs.
That's exactly what it is.
Watching him move the defense exactly where he wanted it to go.
Yep.
Like, Ja was doing all of that.
All of it.
And it's like stuff that if you're just watching TV copy, didn't come through. But you were in person, you're like, this man is playing on expert mode.
It's just like when he's in, everyone's elevated.
And so I guess the question is like, would a couple of weeks of downtime, like would that?
He's going to get back to it because at the end of the day, we're talking about a small sample size. So it's just how and when and you.
Well, I think the problem is they'll never answer this.
Mm-hmm.
How much of the dip in play that we've seen recently?
Mm-hmm.
How much is physical?
Yeah.
How much is engagement?
Yeah.
Because I think there's a legitimate question about that to a certain degree. How much of it is?
It's frustrating too.
Mental from the.
It's frustrating.
Sure.
You don't play four games and. I sometimes go back and listen to the first couple interviews of the year with these guys because
where were they when school started?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Ja wasn't talking about MVP, All NBA, none of it. He just kept saying him and Marcus Smart.
Yeah,
like they were the two players saying it more than anyone else. Availability is one of my main focuses this season. Availability, 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 and it's got to be frustrating. I'm sure that's probably part of the reason why he's trying to dodge, you know,
sure.
his control, protect his peace with the social media and everything, because he hasn't played more than four games in a row, and it's everyone knows now.
Yeah.
Like earlier this season, it was like, what could he do? Like it was the hip injury, it was, you know, a basketball hitting the bottom of his foot and twisting his ankle, and it was all these
unfortunate things. Yeah.
Yeah. But now we've seen, oh, you know, he hit his shoulder and We know there's a history there, but it's got to be frustrating as a player. I'm sure, like, when you think about it, like, I think about it as being a kid playing the sports, and I'm sure you could, like, when you know more people are about to come to the game, it's nationally televised, Moneybagg Yo was there, who he has a relationship with, Mike Miller, you know, his agent, was in the building. Like, you know all these people are going to be there, and you can't play? That's gutting.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, and there's, to a certain degree, there's a little of, like, embarrassment.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you completely. All right, I promise later on in the show we'll actually get to, like, the good stuff from last night. But yeah, when we take a break, we need to take a break. Blake Topmeyer is going to join us next, but also want to remind you, our friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers got you covered this Valentine's Day. Shop now through Valentine's Day and get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates free with any purchase of $99 or more. Pick them up with your voucher between February 11th through 14th so that the flowers are fresh, and it's all while supplies last. You can check out the Love's Cross Diamond Necklace. It's a stunning necklace, a timeless design that symbolizes the beautiful bond that you share. Those start around $199. They also have the diamond tennis bracelets now with 2-carat lab-grown diamonds in those. Those are a hot-selling item, so go ahead and shop early because they might be gone by the time you get in there if you don't. Again, purchases of $99 or more, you get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates for Valentine's Day. They also got great financing options, 12 months interest-free financing, or you can take up to 60 months to pay. Shop early for the best selection. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at our friends at Robert Irwin Jewelers, rijewelers.com. We come back. Blake Topmeyer joins us next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Blake Topmeyer is the senior national college football columnist for USA Today Sports. His podcast is also SEC Football Unfiltered. Episodes available each and every week. Join him and John Adams as they discuss the SEC. Also, follow him on Twitter, on X, at B Topmeyer. Blake, important work this week. Coaches' grades, always, we need it, have to have it. Also, want to give you credit for overrated, underrated on the way too early top 25. Can I throw one more out for you?
Ooh, what do you got? I might need to pencil something in for February.
We gotta rank the quarterbacks coming in for next season, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting this year, too, because, you know, I feel like there's like three or four guys at the top, you know, in no particular order. You got Garrett Nussmeyer, Arch Manning, and DJ Lagway, I think, kind of leading the conversation. But then after that, I think it's really kind of dealer's choice, right? I think it's going to be kind of fun ranking in the SEC the quarterbacks.
Tylan's still at Arkansas, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Marcel's still at A&M.
Yes. Oklahoma added the transfer.
Yeah, Mateer, John Mateer. I think Oklahoma's going to figure out Jackson Arnold wasn't our problem. That's and he's at Auburn. Is it Aiden Williams, the baseball player that came in for the Georgia game for Ole Miss, the lefty, new Tua? And then we've got Nico in the East. We've got Nico. You've already mentioned Lagway, Lenoris Sellers, yeah. Diego's back, thank God. Who are we missing? Georgia. So I know you mentioned Gunnar Stockton. Is this a hot take? I'm out on Georgia if Gunnar Stockton's their quarterback.
I don't think it's that hot. I mean, like, I guess it depends on how you're out on Georgia. Like, if you think they're going to stink.
Yeah, you know, in the sense of, like, I don't think they're winning a national championship.
Exactly. No, I'm with you. Like, I would have a lot of concerns if I'm a Georgia fan about pursuing a national championship with Gunnar. And much like I'd have some concerns as an Alabama fan pursuing a national championship with Ty Simpson. I mean, I know Ty Simpson, we haven't seen much of him, so I guess it's possible he's a superstar, but this is a 5-star guy who's been rotting on the bench for 3 years. And it's probably not fair to the player, but in this microwave age of college football where everybody's looking for a quarterback, I'm just a little skeptical of a guy that's been on the bench for 3 years waiting his turn. Now, there are some exceptions, like Carson Beck was on the bench for 3 years and then had an awesome 2023 season, obviously regressed this past year.
I'm blaming receivers.
Yeah. No, I think Carson Beck's a good quarterback. So, I mean, there are exceptions of guys who spend, you know, several years on the bench and break out. But, like, I think there were way more examples of that 5 or 10 years ago. Like, now, I counted it up the other day, 11 of the 12 playoff quarterbacks, everybody other than Carson Beck, was a starter within his first 3 years of college. And most of those guys were starters within year one or year two. Maybe not necessarily at the school they made the playoff with, but they were starting within their first 2 years of college. So, you know, with Alabama, Ty Simpson kind of headlines that competition. They got the five-star Keelan Russell coming in, but Simpson's the headliner. You know, maybe it works out, but I would feel a little bit uncomfortable, I think, if I'm a Bama fan. Would probably have felt more comfortable if they would have added a proven transfer.
Does the list start with Nussmeier?
I think it does. I mean, I guess it depends on, like, your ranking philosophy. I'm one of those guys that, like, maybe this is a bad move in ranking, but, like, if someone has, like, a guaranteed really high floor and I also kind of like their ceiling, like, I'm just a sucker for those guys, right? Like, I mean, the absolute highest ceiling for Arch Manning might be higher than Garrett Nussmeier, but I know what the floor is for Garrett Nussmeier, and it's pretty darn high. And if you had a competent defense at LSU, and if they reload on the offensive line, like, I think Nussmeier's just pure quarterback. I think he's a good enough quarterback to pursue a national championship with. You know, they got to get the defense figured out, certainly. But yeah, I think that's where I'd start. If you're more like a, you know, just chasing the highest possible ceiling, I think you could start it with Arch or DJ Lagway.
Yeah, so the one that I just don't have the googly eyes that everyone else does, I think Lenoris Sellers, you can win in college with him.
I was going to ask about
but,
that too, yeah.
Like, there's so much throwing that I have real questions with. The thing, yeah, though, with Lagway, in a weird way, I think him getting hurt this year and playing hurt, I actually think that helped him develop as a passer. The one that I would hold out, like, hope for of, like, high ceiling and maybe I'd bet on, I think, is Lagway, because he is a significantly better thrower of the football than Lenoris Sellers.
I totally agree, and that's why, you know, when we kind of started this conversation, some people would put Sellers in the mix of Nussmeier, Manning, Lagway. I don't. I think those three guys are where the conversation starts. To me, Sellers is in the next tier. I mean, I think he's going to continue to be a good quarterback for South Carolina. My thing with Sellers is I think his ceiling is not that much different than what we saw from him this year. And I think you're kind of hitting on that, like, with him as a passer. Like, I think we know what he is, and he's going to get older. He's going to get more experienced. And he's a nice quarterback, but I just don't see him, you know, progressing a ton past where he is. Whereas, like, Lagway, I think he might just be scratching the surface. And I do kind of agree with you, like, with his injury, it forced him to, I don't know about develop as a passer, but trust himself, yeah, as a passer more. And I think he's a pretty good passer. And I don't think we've seen the best of him in that front yet, but I mean, he throws a good deep ball. I mean, obviously what he can do when he's healthy with his legs is a game changer, but I think he's a pretty good passer too. And I don't know, just between those two guys, Lagway and Sellers, you know, kind of the dual threat guys we're thinking of there, although Manning can run it a little bit, but you know, just truly dynamic dual threats, Lagway and Sellers. I trust Lagway's ability more as a passer. So that's, to me, why he's in that top tier mix, and sounds like for you too. I would be, man, I'd be tempted to go Lagway one, but I've liked Nussmeier for years, and I think if they got the right guys around him, he'd be pretty tempting at number one.
I should be clear, I'm contractually obligated to put Diego one. as the guy that has been as card carrying, like, I have to stand up for short quarterbacks to begin with. He wears number two, and I've loved him since New Mexico State, so I have to put him at one. But where the real conversation starts, like, that's where it starts to get interesting. But I guess the other thing I was thinking about, does it say something that we're not even really thinking about Nico right now?
I think it says a little bit about Nico. I also think, like, you can't help but think about the weapons around these quarterbacks. I try, yeah, to put that aside a little bit, but it does.
I do know this. Garrett Nussmeier is going to have three NFL guys he's throwing to. I don't know if we know their names, but I guarantee that he's going to have three of them.
Absolutely. And so, like, we try to separate that in these rankings, but it does subconsciously factor in. And I just think Tennessee's done a really lousy job of surrounding Nico with top shelf wide receivers. They don't have any.
Well, they got, I mean, expensive. Like, maybe,
yeah, I guess they got expensive. Right, exactly. You know, I mean, maybe Mike Matthews develops into something, but my question on that is, like, if he was ready to be a star receiver, why wasn't he playing this year? Because they could have used a star receiver out there this year. So that's either a mistake on the coaching staff and their evaluation, or this guy's not ready to be a star receiver yet. So, yeah, I mean, I think Nico's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, but I was maybe drinking up the hype last year, although not as much as some. I thought, like, the Heisman conversations this time last year were a little ridiculous. But, you know, I thought he would kind of break out and be a star almost immediately, and he wasn't a star. He was a fine quarterback for being a redshirt freshman, but I don't think he was a star, and I don't know – I don't think he's got that same star power quality in him that like a Lagway or an Arch or Garrett Nussmeier has. I haven't seen it from him yet, and he's not going to get a lot of help, I don't think, from his wide receivers.
I don't know how much you've caught of him. I'm a little hesitant because I believe it's Aiden Williams. It's the Ole Miss kid. He played baseball. So he was a relief pitcher for him, and he hurt his elbow in needing Tommy John. But like much like with Brock Purdy, like he had the elbow, but he's going to keep playing. So my hesitation with him is I'm a little gun shy because of the arm. Like I always go back to my brother needed Tommy John surgery. One doctor in North Carolina is like, hey, he needs surgery. And they went to Andrews, like, nah, we can rehab it. And everyone's like, well, you're not going to go against Andrews. But it's like, once you tear it, like at some point it needs to be fixed. I'm telling you though, if that guy is healthy, he kind of has a little it factor.
No, I totally agree. He's kind of the wild card.
Yes.
Like in all this, I think. I agree.
All right. Then the other thing I was thinking about content-wise that we could do, I think we need to recalibrate. We got to start re-ranking what the best jobs are, because I was thinking about this, and I can't remember if I talked to you about it. I think when Marcus Freeman had if the NFL pursuits were real, like I think he had a legitimate like question asked. Like if you want to sit there and go like, hey, played in the NFL, maybe he wants the quality of life, like that's well and good. I'm now at the point where I don't know if they can win it every year, but I think Notre Dame is now the type of job that Notre Dame used to believe it is. Like I really do think, like, now that the money's opened up, it's like I think you can win really big, and like in the right year I think they could actually win a title.
The thing I'm still waiting to see from Notre Dame is to see them get the 5-star wide receivers and the NFL caliber quarterback.
Austin Simmons, by the way, not Aiden Williams. I don't know why it's Aiden Williams. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I knew who you were talking about. Yeah, Austin Simmons had the injury for Ole Miss. But yeah, Aiden Williams is the wide receiver. But yeah, point taken. Yeah, Austin Simmons is the wild card in the SEC. But as far as Notre Dame, I kind of agree with you. But why can't they get a 5-star wide receiver? I was looking at this the other day. In terms of, say, the 24/7 composite rankings, their last 5-star wide receiver, ready for this one? They signed in 2008. Mm. 2008. It's been almost two decades since they signed a 5-star wide receiver. And I know this is Notre Dame. Like, they're always going to get the offensive linemen and the linebackers and a safety and all that type of stuff. But we saw it this year with Ohio State, and we've seen it with LSU and with Alabama. And yeah, maybe there were some exceptions in there because Georgia just had a super defense.
Yeah.
But they're also pretty good on offense too. But still, I think like right now in college football, if I'm starting my offense, I want a 5-star wide receiver and I want an NFL caliber quarterback, you know? And if I don't have those guys, I'm just questioning my ability to win a national championship now. And that's why, you know, for me, especially in 2025, Notre Dame's national championship hopes are pinned to CJ Carr, the freshman, you know, who's going to be a redshirt freshman next year. We didn't see him this year because he had an elbow injury, another one of those elbow injuries. But he's the guy that I think, you know, I mean, the recruiting folks raved about him. I saw him some in the spring game. I know it's a spring game, so who cares? But he looked really good in the spring game.
We still
game.
Do those?
Yeah, we still do those.
How about that?
Yeah, and it really doesn't matter much, but you do, you know, you look at the
guy. Hey, it's what we got. Hey, you know, he's playing football. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And we didn't see him at all, so you're pinning a lot to that. But I just, you know, if he is superstar talent, then maybe they can go chase a national championship this year. If it's Steve Angeli, I mean, the guy's been a nice backup for him. He had that nice little drive against Penn State when he was kind of a change of pace. Looked fine, but I don't know. Like, I'm just questioning that Steve Angeli, with a collection of 3- and 4-star wide receivers, is going to go out and win a national championship. So, you know, kind of in premise, I agree with you. Like, I think Notre Dame's a really good job. You know, with the money flowing, maybe it's a better job than when Brian Kelly left. You know, everybody likes to bury Brian Kelly for I think, kind of speaking the truth on Notre Dame. But the game has changed a lot actually, in the NIL and transfer space. And but the one thing that hasn't changed is the type of guys Notre Dame's still trotting out there at wide receiver and quarterback. And I think that's got to change. It's got to upgrade a little bit for them to take that last step and win a national championship.
Is Texas the best job in the SEC?
Yeah, it's certainly at the top of the pack. I think Texas, Georgia, I still think Georgia's a really good job. I mean, they were, you know, kind of punching below their weight for the longest time with Mark Richt and Kirby got it figured out.
Hey, they had to get a dog in there.
Yeah. I mean, with NIL and the backing that Texas has there, I mean, it's hard to totally know, right? I mean, I wish all these guys would just kind of open up their bank accounts and show us who's got what money. But I don't think either Georgia or Texas is hurting. We know that. But Texas, you know, at least the perception is that Texas is kind of driving the bus when it comes to the NIL space, I think. I would probably start with those two. I mean, I still think Alabama's a really, really good job. I still think LSU is a good job, although I think it was almost a better job before NIL, and you didn't have to factor all that into it.
When you could buy players through children's hospitals?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think it's a top five job in the SEC. I might have used to say it was a top three job in the SEC. So I mean, those jobs haven't fallen away, but I think I would start it with Texas or Georgia at number one.
This is the other thing that I was thinking about, because a lot of these teams kind of have question marks at quarterback. I've almost wondered, when you had I think it was John Talty's report at 24/7, he had there was maybe Barcelo also wrote it with him, but they were talking about how the price of players went up. And they're like, what caused, because it went up even double from last year. What caused this? Well, the best speculation is, teams were basically promising money based on revenue sharing. It's not 100% certain that the settlement's going to go through. I almost wonder if some of these teams are like, man, the price tag on all these kids right now, like these quarterbacks, it's insane. We don't think this thing's going to work out, and then all of a sudden you're going to have a bunch of players that have been promised money. The schools don't have the money because they're promising money basically like on a credit card. They don't have the money. And does it open up another free-for-all in the spring? Because I feel like there's way too many schools that have not consistently been, we're going to have question marks at quarterback with question marks.
Yeah, the problem is going to be if the athlete thinks, you know, if they were promised money by some school that falls through, the problem is going to be for that athlete thinking, oh, well, I can still find that dollar figure somewhere else. Like, the athlete might have to accept, you're not getting the dollar that you were promised, whether it be at the school you thought you were going to get it from, or if you test the open market again, you still might not get that dollar. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be some guys.
Those were crypto prices.
Yeah. And some guys may feel burned by that. And even if they don't get that dollar on the market, they might just say, hey, you promised me something and you didn't give it to me, so I'm going to go with somebody else. And I'll take what they give me. I think, you know, we saw that with Jaden Rashada, right? With Florida. Like, they didn't come through on what they promised him, and so he said, see you later, I'm not going there. Now, we haven't really seen that pan out much for him, but that's certainly a move. So, yeah, I mean, I think there could be a level of that happening. I do think, though, I don't know, guys are taking a risk transferring later in the calendar. You know, we just... You're really betting on yourself if you're coming in that second window that you're so stinking good that you can do it in just a few months' time and you can win the job, you know, without the benefit of spring practice, which, you know, folks like you and I think say, like, who really cares just about spring practice? But I still think the coaches are kind of old school in that
way.
It's
reps with receivers, too. Like,